thank you for your patience, everyone. We want to welcome the new D-Track interns. I think we have four of you. So welcome aboard. We know you're in your uncertainty period trying to figure everything out, but it'll start to make sense very quickly in the next couple of weeks. And please excuse my kind of sloshy. I'm having some oral surgery work done, and it takes time to heal. So I'm doing the best I can. And I want to congratulate once again our C-Track graduates. You did it. Go fly and make us proud. And then after you defrag, consider joining GITA and coming back and paying it forward. Next slide, please. Okay, so we're just going to go over, you know, the light part of being a part of the internship. It seems obvious, but it's always good for us to have a shared definition of what it means to be part of a team, particularly a virtual team, because we deal with certain things. We deal with all the senses except for touch and actually being able to read body language. And we don't realize how much body language affects communication until you don't have it. So be a good person because it shows. And we all have our days. We understand that. But try not to make that a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So just be the good person that I know you already are. So speak directly with people. You can ask about their day or their weekend, how they've been doing, just like you would if you came in on a Monday to a physical brick and mortar job. And be transparent. Try to be as clear as possible when you can be to explain yourself. One of the things that I work on a lot, and I tell the management team that I will continue to work on, is it doesn't matter how well I think I'm communicating a point. It only matters if you receive it the way that I intended it. So when that doesn't happen, I recognize that I can do better. I can communicate better. And we all should be that way. It's not so much, you know, why won't that person get it? There's always an opportunity within your locus of control to try to communicate better. So that the content of your character should be obvious. And basically, let's try to be kind to one another. Next slide, please. Okay, so we have a wide range of interns here. I mean, there's no kind of litmus test of what do you know before you come. We assume that because you're at your capstone level, that you have retained some of the things from your studies. However, as I talked about last week, it's one thing to learn something just intellectually and academically, and it's another thing to actually look at the tool and the system and transfer that knowledge to actually doing. So we understand that. And so those of you that are able to do that, maybe you're already in the field, maybe you're already doing this, and you're just tired of writing papers, so you're not going to the capstone, you're coming to the experience, you can be an expert without being arrogant about it. You know, if someone doesn't know something that you already know, it doesn't mean they can't learn it. And also, what's even more important, and that's from me all the way down to whoever comes into the program, just because you know one thing doesn't mean that within that other person, they don't know something else that can make your day better, make your experience better. Okay, so building up others doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. But if you hoard your talents and say, you know, I'm trying to do this and they don't even know how to do that, or they don't understand this. As soon as we go down that road, then we have the problem of hoarding our knowledge and not looking for the knowledge in the other. Okay, so there's many experts in this room. Everyone that's an adult is an expert on something. And it could be cooking, cleaning, whatever. All those kinds of time management and orderly things are transferable. They are transferable to technology. You just have to figure out the road, you know? And sometimes when you're communicating verbally to someone and it just seems like they don't get it, maybe sometimes you have to write it down and say, okay, this is what I think we went over. Is that how you received it? Okay. And if you find that there's more than two emails or text on something and it's still not, the water is not wet for the other person, consider picking up the phone and giving them a call, or setting up a sidebar Teams meeting, or going to another mode of communication to make sure that you guys are on the same page. It does help. Next slide, please. Okay, and surprisingly, although we are PGIP Tech, you would be surprised how many times tech isn't the first answer. Sometimes the first answer, as the analytics team will tell us, is analysis of the problem set. So that might take a meeting. You may have one of your department meetings and say, okay, this is our new project, ABCD, and we're going to be using PHP, or we're going to be using MySQL, or whatever we're going to use. But before you even get to that, it's important that the discussion, the analysis be had so that everyone's questions, concerns, or maybe even insights can come to the table. And we are finding, I am finding, and this is just eye on eye crime, I'm finding that a lot of things that I assumed and took for granted fell through the cracks somewhere. Now, that's not the end of the world. We just have to fix it. But that means that more analysis, more communication was probably needed before I said, okay, go out here and, spin up a database in MySQL for this project or that project. And folks are scratching their heads saying, where are the KPIs? Where are the key performance indicators? What is the output that you're looking for? All these kinds of questions. So understand that you don't always jump into the tech. Sometimes the analysis, and in most cases, the analysis and discussion are necessary so that we're all on the same page. So once again, it's about hearing and processing information and then catering to that. When you find that sweet spot that you all can all kind of understand, then stick with it. Stick with it and use that as the mode. If it's the chat, then use the chat. If it's written, then use written or email. If it's picking up the phone, then use that. But we can find a way that we were all per team, or if you're doing a quantum team, that we were all on the same page. And that does involve, like, even when I'm teaching my I call it the housekeeping seminar. I don't know what other people call it, but my first seminar is always a housekeeping. Of course, you have the rubrics and all that other kind of stuff. But it's, I also share definitions. This is the definition of a multi-agent. This is the definition of an algorithm. This is the working definition that we're all going to go forward with. Because I don't know about you all, but I've noticed that all these different industries, I mean, it can even be pizza companies or K-12 online, everyone's using the word algorithm now. Everyone wants to put a little bit of tech lingo in their marketing and their product. Well, it doesn't mean the same thing to them per se as it means to us. What it means to them is basically not even a mathematical situation. To them it means, okay, this is the definition of something, and ours is definition, but ours goes further than that because we are actually creating the thought form that is going to lead through either, our code or whatever we're going to do. So it's a little more computer sciencey for us than it is for the general population. So things like that, it's very important that we all have the same understanding of the terminologies that we're using. And if you get stuck on a project, don't silo. Don't wait to, if you get stuck on Monday, say, okay, I'll ask this on in the Thursday meeting. It'll make me look busy, and I'll go on and do something else until Thursday. Ask that question at that time. You have a chat, you have an email, you have a manager, you have leaders, you have mentors, all kinds of places to ask that question at that time while it's fresh in your mind and while you can still get something done. But for don't silo. Don't just stay to yourself until the next meeting. And once again, email, call, or chat with a colleague to get that answer or seek that answer that you need. Next slide, please. It's a coming. Can you guys still hear me? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. And okay. Thanks. And then follow up, because things do fall through the cracks in a virtual environment. Like, I know there was one situation where I was asked to do something. I did the first step of going to someone more expert than me and said, can you look over this project and see if it has some errors in it? One of my interns found the error. Okay, so then I go on about all the other stuff I'm doing. And before I know it, I have like dropped the ball for 2 or 3 weeks because I didn't get a response. And, you know, and we have these attitudes where we go and we do stuff and we kind of like, you know, clean our hands, say, okay, that's done, until they respond to me. But it was up to me to follow up if I hadn't heard from that person outside of the internship within a week or so, because my intern was relying upon me. Thank goodness that intern was patient, because it was really up to me to keep on or figure it out myself or keep bugging that other instructor or whatever until we got the answers. Okay. So although I responded to the intern saying I haven't heard anything yet, that doesn't help him in what he wanted to do. Okay. So we know from our policies and procedures when you first enter the internship that during the week you respond within 24 hours, even if that response is stay tuned. You know, I've received your email and I'm working on it. And on the weekends, you know, about 2 days, you know, try to answer. Like, for example, if you email me on Sunday, you shouldn't expect a response, or even Saturday afternoon to Sunday, actually. You shouldn't expect a response until Monday, because I have one of those minds that if I don't defrag, I'll short circuit. Okay. So if you don't know the answer, seek someone who does have the answer. Team with that person and help them find their way through. And stay busy. It's a really funny thing. When you don't stay busy, then you kind of lose the groove of it. It's kind of like if you were a musician or you played the piano when you were a child. And then, you know, you get married, you have family, you have to work and everything. And you get and you find yourself falling away from it for like 10 years. It's not like you can't get back on that horse. It's not like you don't have the foundations within you. But when you go back, they're rusty. So if you find yourself having big lags during the week where, you know, you get your work done in a swift manner and you say, good, I don't have to worry about that for 5 more days. You're going to be rusty. You're going to start to build a mindset within yourself of not being really on top of your game. Stay busy. If you complete your project in a timely fashion or ahead of time, then ask your manager for something else or move on to the next project or see where you can expand and enhance that project to be on the best and brightest level. A lot of our projects, as I was saying last week, similar to a rubric, are based on a median. Okay, because we have so many crossover students in our program, people that were in, like my undergraduate was in psychology, and then my other degrees were in tech. Okay, so those people are crossing over. So we need to have projects that can facilitate someone learning, you know, getting their sea legs. At the same time, we have experts who have been doing this. And like I said, just don't want to write another paper on the capstone and come over here and kind of become pay it forward helpers while they're working on projects. Well, our project might seem really amateur for them. Okay, but those people can enhance that project, make it more robust, go to the next step that will keep them stimulated in the program. So you have all this agileness and elasticity to go to your highest level, and it'll benefit you in the long run. It's something no one can take away from you, and it makes us really happy too. Next slide, please. Have no hesitancy in using visuals. I've talked about, you know, communicating verbally. That may work. It may not. I've talked about actually putting something in writing or documentation. That may work. That may not. There's a third option. And the third option, which works really well for me, and I know that Marjorie said she's a visual person as well, is to make a visual for yourself and also for others. In doing that, they can look at it regardless of their background experience. And actually, in most of of the jobs you all have for tech, it's going to be a globalized company. It doesn't matter what culture or where that person comes from. You can take a ERD from Western English Speaking Society, and you can send it to Asia where they're speaking another language, and they will still be able to see through the visualization what's going on with that system, regardless of the language barriers. So it has so many advantages. And we are working on building up our Kanban knowledge, our Agile knowledge. And it's just really a learning curve for some, and not so much for others who use that in their work environment. So we're going to use more of those in group projects. So a person can actually go out to the Kanban board and say, okay, here where we are, this is where we are now, and my team is doing this to contribute to that group project, and I'm excuse me, going to do this part of it, and then move my sticker on to the next level, which is basically to do, doing, and done. It's very simple. So you can move your to do to doing, and then after you're doing it and completed it, you can move it to done. And that lets everyone know where you are in the process and where they should be in the process, since it is for teams. And basically, in management and in tech, I mean, one of the mottos is when you get these overwhelming projects, when you get these huge projects, the first thing you want to do is get together in the analysis and break it down into manageable pieces. You can't eat the whole thing at once, or you're going to get indigestion, upset stomach, that Pepto-Bismol commercial. You're going to get that. You don't want to get that. So you're going to break it into manageable pieces, and what piece is designated or better fit for your department, and what goes to other departments. We're so small that you can't, one department usually can't handle everything that is involved in a large project. So we have to quantum team. We have to work together. Okay. And it requires cooperation, coordination, and negotiation. There's a fine line somewhere. Like we decide, I mean, we have discovered that there's very rarely that we're going to have an analytics project that doesn't involve some sort of database work, or a cybersecurity project that doesn't involve some level of understanding networks. So we understand that whatever we get is going to involve other teams coming in and doing their part. So visualizations really matter, and especially in virtual environments, because what else do we have but pictures to match what we're talking about and what we're putting in writing? Next slide, please. So once again, we can't emphasize this enough, because we are so diverse in our skill sets and what we can do, and our ambitions for the future. I mean, we've had people that want to do IT in the aeronautics field. So we have to find a project that actually addresses that. I mean, there's people all the spectrum, because IT is everywhere. So the spectrum of what you want to do with your degree is vast and evolving. Something that's good today might be obsolete tomorrow. So it's important. We want to know what you're good at, what you're able to do. We want you to be proud of what you know and all those things and your experiences. Okay. But we don't want you to be so overwhelming that you actually kind of turn people off from you, versus saying, great, you know that. Can you help us here? Or can you do that here? Because, like I said, we're all teachers and students. So it's basically having like a we kind of thinking at PGIP Technology. You know, it's like not just about me, because if it's just about me, nothing's going to progress. It has to be about we and what we can do as a team. Okay. So we don't need to speak negatively about what someone is good at or what someone doesn't know. Okay, that doesn't do any good. As I said before, what that ends up doing when you poo-poo someone else for their naivete, or for their expression, or for their work in progress, you're actually just alienating yourself. And when you do that, not only are you no good to the team, but quite candidly, you're no good to me. and what I'm trying to achieve for our school and for our students in the internship. So then I have to make decisions that are not always easy to make. Okay, so it's a balance. You know, you're going to inform someone of what you know or your techniques or what you've used that have been successful in the past, but you're going to do that through guiding them at the same time. You know, share your screen and let them shadow you. You know, show them the steps that you go through and your mistakes or the errors you might make. It's very hard to do that. Even people that are very skilled, when they're sharing their screen, they might click on a link and say, oh, no, it's not there. Trying to remember where all of your data and information and code and all that stuff is not a science as much as it is like an art of flow and processes. So you will find that none of us are, I don't know what you'd call it, Zeus. And Zeus had a lot of flaws, by the way, on any of these things. So we have to guide one another and help. And once again, asking for help is a sign of strength. Don't give up on that. If you ask for help from one person and you're not receiving it or getting it, it's not anything to be mad about. You can reach out to someone else. There's enough of us that you can find the help you need. It's good to CC me on stuff, because if I don't know, I'll go out and try to find somebody who does. Next slide, please. Okay, so here's my little piece of mental science. And for the new D-Track people, you will learn that I'm just like really into how the brain works. When you think about IT and all the stuff that we want to learn and all the different spokes of IT, I mean, we have to keep in mind that we can't retain everything as much as we need to know where to go and get it. You know, some of these things will be like your right or left hand, but the other things will be, well, I know where to go get it. If somebody says produce a database, you know, you immediately know, okay, that's DynamoDB or MySQL or something like that. You know the tools that can accomplish that. The next step is what are the best tools? So what we're dealing with is your time and your energy. Those are your key assets, regardless of if you're in the internship or in the academic side or wherever you are with your family, your time and your energy and what you're going to do with it. Those are your assets that show your talents. Okay. And then the next step is, okay, I've got these assets. Where, how am I going to invest them so that I get a return on investment, right? I don't want to put my energy in something that is not going to produce more energy or more excitement or, you know, give me more time to do the next step or something else. So if you just spend it away, if you find yourself in accomplishing your 10 weeks, this is why we put a limit on the YouTubes and research, because no fault of your own. I'm not poo-pooing anyone. I'm just saying that it is very easy if you're a nerd like me to start researching something and then you look up and it's 3 or 4 hours later, kind of like playing a video game. So, you know, we have to put a break on that or your whole 10 weeks will be, oh, I watch YouTube videos. And it's easy to do because one leads to another. The algorithms keep you addicted. Okay. So it's up to you to say, look, this is not a good investment of my time, because although I learned something, I didn't apply it. So always think in terms of time and energy are your assets. How are you going to invest them for your best interest so that you get a return on investment? So you have something to add to your interviews, your future, your next steps, be it grad school, doctoral programs, whatever you're going to do. Next slide, please. And just to know, and I don't think any of us are immune from this, when we do research on what do people do with their time and their energy, the majority of our time is spent at work, sleeping, or watching TV. So these things are important. We do have to work. And if you're in IT, it's not unusual to be kept over. Like Marcia has a project she's launching at work today. That's why she's not here. I mean, these things happen. Dylan's on the road. That's why he's not here. I mean, you know, things like that. So those things happen. It's kind of like unavoidable. And I want you to sleep. I mean, sleep is the second best defrag that you can have, if not the first defrag. But the other one, the watching TV, and that would include like video games or, just vegging out on Netflix and all that. Consider how much time you spend on that, and just how much can be nibbled away at getting your 10 hours or doing some work on this side. You will find, and Netflix has the algorithms too. So believe me, you get caught up in one movie, and then when that one is showing its credits, the other one is already stacked to segue you right into another 3 hours of time. It's very easy to watch a whole series and say, that's what I did with my Sunday. But so consider the alternatives of what to do with that. It doesn't mean Netflix is not in the background, but you're also getting something done. So I find it, very interesting, the things that we would say that we're spending time with, like family or the kids or something like that, actually don't flesh out to be the primary area where time is spent. So just food for thought. Next slide, please. And that's it. So I just want to emphasize once again, welcome to those that are coming in. Congratulations to those who have walked the burning sands, and you are now going to go out into the world and make us proud. But keep in mind that we are all at different phases of growth in IT. We're all teachers and students. Please don't judge one another for the stage that you're in, but learn how to guide and embrace either way it goes. And let's work together to make PGIP Tech the best that it can be. And back to you, Alex, for the last time.